believe. Well, today marked the start of Holy Week, sometimes called the Great Week. One of those key moments in our church's year when we celebrate the great mysteries of the Passion, the Death and the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're just going to take a few minutes on the programme now with the help of our colleague from the Church of Ireland, Stephen Fletcher, to talk a little bit about some of the ceremonies that are coming up this week and the journey that we're making. So Stephen, in the Church of Ireland community today, did you celebrate Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion, and how did you mark that?
We did. We celebrated it with the Passion, the full Gospel Passion reading, rather than just the palms, because the point was made that too easy if people can just go straight from the triumphal entry straight to the resurrection without realizing everything in between. So we did have the full the full Gospel of the Passion.
That's it. What we call, what they call it around our part of the world, the long gospel.
Indeed.
The long gospel. And particularly this year, because this year we were reading from Luke's account of the Passion, which is the longest of the three that we read on Palm Sunday. So we had Luke's account of the Passion today, and we probably had the blessing of the palms in many churches and the triumphant entry into Jerusalem marked. And I suppose, as I always do, I remind people that those voices that shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday were the same voices and the same people that said crucify him on Good Friday. Yeah. So really, the journey that we make this week is all our journey, and it's the story that we have between rejoicing and despair, between death and life, between sinfulness and freedom and forgiveness. Mm. So one of the first big events of the week of Holy Week, I think, for us is the Chrism Mass, which for us takes place. Traditionally, it used to take place on Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday morning, but for us it takes place this year on the Wednesday evening at 7:30 here in the cathedral in Ennis, and that's a diocesan event where we bless the oils that will be used in the celebration of the sacraments, and the priests of the diocese renew their commitment to priestly service. So they're the two events that happen at that. You have a similar service in the Church
of Ireland. And ours is on Thursday.
Yes.
And the Chrism service then, unusually really, it's going to be held in Ennis in St. Columbus. The bishop has suggested and invited the parish to hold the service. So all the clergy and readers, so it's the ministers, the lay and ordained, will come, and they will renew their ordination and licensing vows that they did. Also, we open it to the congregation to repeat the baptism vows as well. So that will also be done on Thursday, and afterwards there'll be refreshments.
I know that features very much as part of the Holy Saturday Great Vigil of Easter for us, but that connection between the events of this week and our baptism is very much underlined in every Christian tradition and every Christian community. We are baptized into the death of Christ so as we can rise with him again.
Yeah, and it's everyone reaffirming what they're about, be they priest or layperson or just a member of the congregation. So it's an important service for us.
And I do think it's an important connection, you know, in the sense that we're not celebrating these events, the Passion, the Death and the Resurrection of Jesus, simply as an anniversary or as a commemoration. We're actually trying to connect them to our own lives. And I always think sometimes when people come to church, whatever their tradition, whatever their denomination, at this time of year, you can't simply be an onlooker. You can't simply be a... You have to fully participate and enter into the
events. We always have to relate it to ourselves and our lives today, don't we? Everything that we do, really, you know, in preaching and in liturgy, it has to really be rooted back to what people are doing and believing now.
Yes, and I think that's very important, that we do connect to people's experience. And that's why I think these services in many ways are so meaningful, because people can see themselves in it, and it's not simply about the spiritual and the heavenly. It's also about the real and the natural as well. Sure. He used to talk about somebody one time that he was so heavenly minded he was no earthly good. I often think that can, you know, that we can fall into the trap of being consumed with piety and devotion.
Indeed.
And yet, if they're not changing and challenging us and how we live, yes, it doesn't make a
indeed
difference.
Indeed. And then in the evenings, we will then, at 7 o'clock, we'll have a tenebrae service, which, okay, I must be honest and say that's something I've never taken part in before. It sounds a bit Catholic to me.
In fact, I regret to inform you, Stephen, it's actually very Catholic, or it was very Catholic. And in fact, I have come across it nowhere, certainly locally.
Mm.
I know some monastic communities and so on, I would have heard of them using it, and some more traditional
parishes. This was introduced into our parish this year, mm-hmm, by the priest in charge, who is the former dean of Limerick, the very Reverend Maurice Sir.
Yes.
And so he's introduced that.
Yes.
And so it will be interesting. We will have 7 candles, we will have, yes, 7 readings, and it's the whole tenebrae means darkness,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes.
And so after each of the readings, we extinguish one of the candles, yes, until we're in total darkness, and then the bell is rung.
Yes, yeah, yes, it's actually a beautiful. And then there's that thing where they bang down the book of scriptures, isn't it? And they make a big bang.
I don't know whether we'll do that.
I didn't damage anything when I did that.
Have we gone off
air? Close the book. We're not gone off air anyway. I can still hear myself.
I don't know. Yes. I will know more after Thursday.
But that's a theme that runs through many of the liturgies of Holy Week: the contrast between light and darkness. Certainly for us, that's the key element of the Easter Vigil, you know, the lighting of the Paschal fire.
The fire.
So you have that tenebrae service on Holy Thursday evening, while we have the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. So in most parishes around the diocese, that will happen sometime on Thursday evening. Very few parishes would have a Mass on Thursday morning, for example. In fact, I think they're not supposed to. They're supposed to leave it free for the Chrism Mass, which we have on Wednesday evening. But so we have the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper, and we have that wonderful ritual in many places of the washing of the feet, which highlights the notion and the connection between Eucharist and service. People are often surprised when they go to that Mass that the reading is not the story of the Last Supper, but the reading of the Gospel is always the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So that's what we underline there.
And then moving on to Good Friday in Ennis, we will have a reflection at 12 noon. But looking over at St. Mary's Cathedral in Limerick, it's really rather exciting, I think. They have an ecumenical Way of the Cross, which begins in St. John's Catholic
Cathedral,
Cathedral, mm-hmm, and they walk to St. Mary's Cathedral. So that sounds very good. Yes. It's good to see, you know, the coming together of the congregations there and the celebration.
And that happens in a number of places around the country in terms of that happens in, I know, in Dublin and Cork and a few other places, that ecumenical coming together on Good Friday, especially because that great event of the crucifixion and the death of Christ is really at the heart and the core of all our beliefs and so on, and it is the one thing that brings us all together. We have that solemn celebration of the Lord's Passion, usually at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where we have the veneration of the cross as the means and the instrument of our salvation. The Stations of the Cross as well also feature for us very much on Good Friday. There's a tradition in Clochlea, I know, of an outdoor Stations of the Cross where they have them outside, but many churches would have them in the evening as well.
Yeah, and we actually, back in Kilkee, we have outdoor stations as well, with the permitting, of course, where we journey through the town.
And that's at what time, Jerry?
Our public stations are 3, and then we have the ceremony, the Lord's Passion, in the evening.
Okay. Because one of the things, there was a time here, we all remember, when everything closed down on Good Friday. Good Friday was a dreary and a dull.
And the pubs were shut.
And the pubs were shut. God be with the days when the pubs were only open 363 days a year instead of 364. Don't write in, publicans. I'm just remarking on it. I'm not making any comment. But the pubs used to be shut on Good Friday. The television and the radio, they all played solemn music. It was almost as if this spirit of Good Friday pervaded every aspect. But of course now it's a normal working day. Most people are going to work. So the notion of having a 3 o'clock service or ceremony doesn't suit people as much anymore, maybe. Now, most parishes continue to have the 3 o'clock ceremony because it's, as they say, the ninth hour and so on and so forth when the veil of the temple was torn in two. One of the other things, of course, is that centrality of the cross on Good Friday evenings, as you say. In some places, they'll have that service of the Passion. But in other places, and I know here in the cathedral, and I know we're doing it in Tulla this year as well, the prayer around the cross, the Taizé-style prayer around the cross. We have a number of young people from St. Joseph's Secondary School in Tulla heading off to Taizé next week with Father Gerry Carey. And we're having that Taizé prayer around the cross. I don't know if you've experienced it, Stephen, but...
Certainly Taizé services and from the parish in St. Albans, which I'm also connected with. We have young people going over every year. There's a pilgrimage over to Taizé, and so it's getting a strong
yes, and
tradition.
Of course Taizé is an ecumenical community.
Indeed.
It's a community of people from various different Christian traditions who come together, and therefore it would have resonance for all of us, but it is, I suppose, a style of prayer that seems these days to particularly appeal to young people. I know that Father Gerry Carey here in Ennis has a very strong group that meets regularly in the Church of Our Lady in Rosslevin. And as a form of prayer, I suppose in a time when our young people's lives are preoccupied with screens and activity and all of that kind of thing, this is one of the few places where they can sit and be quiet and reflect. There's a simplicity about the chants and the hymns. So, so keep an eye out for those. Holy Saturday. Now, I don't know about you, Gerry, but one of the things we all love to hear as clergy at this time of the year is, sure, Father, this is your busy time. It used to, our late colleague, the God rest him, Father Jimmy Power, it used to annoy him greatly when people would say to him, this is your busy time, Father. And he'd say, you'd swear we were doing nothing for the other 51 weeks of the year. Holy Saturday, then, a different day, of course. It's a day of waiting, a day of watching.
Yes.
I know the readings from the Office of Readings in the Prayer of the Church are very much about watching and waiting at the tomb.
Yes, we have nothing in the West Clare parishes on Easter Saturday.
Okay.
The cathedral has a morning prayer, not a Eucharist, a morning prayer at 10:30. So it is very much, you know, waiting and anticipating, really.
Now, of course, we break into that in the Catholic tradition with the great Vigil of Easter. Now, Gerry, take us through the Vigil of Easter. I'm going to put you on the spot now. People, see, one of the things I always say about this is people encounter these ceremonies once a year and they've forgotten by the time they come round again.
Yeah. So, well, I suppose one of the key things, I think, about the Saturday Vigil next Saturday night in our churches is that now it's moved on because of the time of the year that it's in, but it's the whole idea of the symbols that we use of going from darkness into light.
Mm-hmm.
That it's reminding us of this is what we're celebrating as Christians, that we go from the darkness of the death of Good Friday and the crucifixion into the brightness of the resurrection of the Lord.
So it all starts with that service of light, the Easter fire, the Easter candle. And that's the very first part of it.
That's the very first part of it. Also, one of the key things that is in that liturgy is the going back to the roots, I suppose, to the Exodus, to the story of the freeing of the Jewish people from captivity in Egypt and their crossing of the Red Sea. And that whole symbolism, again, is, you know, echoed and mirrored in the resurrection of Jesus and in what we try to do as well on that night by renewing our baptismal vows and being blessed by water again, that whole thing of being refreshed and renewed.
So they're kind of, if you go to your Easter Vigil, that's what you'll encounter are those four key moments: the light, the word, the water, and the Eucharist. And that all is that culmination. It's that movement over that night, waiting for the resurrection to happen. Now,
That's something I'm familiar with, because having a Catholic wife, our usual Easter is for me to join her on the vigil, and then her to come with me to
on Easter Day.
On Easter Day. So I'm very familiar with the Easter Vigil, and, mm. and in the parish in Boxmoor in Hertfordshire, yes. where we go, you know, there's a
and it
huge
is very
bonfire.
Dramatic, yes.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
very
and,
dramatic,
and,
yeah,
and the Paschal candle is carried into a dark church, and all our candles are lit from that, you know, and it, the light floods back into the church. Yes. It's a very powerful imagery.
It is. And those things speak to us. I mean, I think particularly because, I suppose, if we're practicing our faith regularly and attending our churches and our parish communities, we become familiar with the style and a routine of worship. But then this great week, as we call it, the Holy Week, we're drawn out of that into a new and exciting way of looking at things. And one of the things, of course, that has become very prolific, certainly in parishes all over County Clare, is the idea of Easter dawn. You know, there's that ancient tradition, the notion that the sun danced at dawn on Easter Day. So we have all of these services. Now, of course, one of the things about the moving on of the clocks is that all the Easter dawn masses and dawn services are at an ungodly hour of the morning of 4:30 or 5:00 or something.
Well, I've decided in Kilkee anyway, the dawn mass is going to be at 7:00 in the morning at the bandstand.
Well,
No
matter when the sun comes up, it's only dawn in Kilkee at 7 a.m.
But we have a marvellous setting for it because we're down there at the bandstand and we're looking out on God's creation.
Absolutely.
And one of the readings we use actually is we borrow it from the Easter Vigil.
Yeah.
We use the Genesis story of creation.
Okay.
And it's really, I think, you know, when you're looking out at that whole vista, you know, and you hear the creation story, it just does something.
And I think it's the feature of those the places that have been chosen by and large, when you look at them, we'll say out in East Clare, there's ones overlooking Loch Derg, West Clare, they're overlooking the Atlantic. Or in other parishes, they're in these ancient monastic sites, these monastery ruins, where you imagine generations have gone before to pray and to worship and to welcome the Easter and so on. So that Easter dawn is becoming a big tradition. But Easter morning, of course, certainly is, and the whole celebration of the resurrection. That's what we've been looking forward to in all our preparation throughout Lent and Holy Week and Easter.
Yeah. And in Spanish Point, we have 9:30, we have a service there, which I'll be at. And then our other parishes have communion services at 11:30. That's St. Columba in Ennis, and then Kilnasula, which
My native parish,
your hometown.
My hometown.
Well,
yes.
If you can make it 11:30, you'd be very welcome.
Well, I'll be in the middle of 11:30 in Tulla. I'll be in the middle of the 11 in Tulla at that stage.
One of the things that they've been doing over the last few years in Spanish Point is two of the congregation, Caroline and Alan Burgoyne, produce an Easter garden with an empty tomb, which is there, and it's become quite a feature. And a few years ago, they had some of the congregation who there's a very close relationship with St. Joseph's
in Milltown.
Obviously, they're very close anyway, but they're very supportive, and certainly the St. Joseph's congregation support our church with events and things like that. But they come, and it will be open for visitors between 11 and 4 on Easter Sunday and Easter Monday, and it's getting quite a following. So if people are free, do come along and see that. And it was interesting that one of the ladies was telling me that a few years ago, when they did it for the first time, and there was some of the congregation of St. Joseph's coming, one of them was actually moved to tears because in the past, when they were children, if they were walking past the church, they were told to turn their heads away from the church.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah.
You know, that's not a criticism because, you know, well, Protestants have done some fairly ridiculous things towards the Catholics.
Yes.
But, I mean, it just shows the changes that we've had. I mean, at one stage, we were killing each other, Brendan.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're now at least can share.
And I think what we realise now, and I think it's a very important point that Stephen makes, is that, you know, we have a different enemy, you know, in the sense that we have far more in common than divides us, and that we are all followers of the same gospel, and that we are all followers of the same God and the same Jesus Christ. And in fact, it is the increasing invasion of secularism and anti-Christian and anti-religious perspectives, so that there's a whole lot more that should bring us together than should divide us.
Indeed.
And a week like this, I think, is a wonderful week,
yes.
You know, where we see how much is similar and how much we have in common.
Actually, of all of the weeks, getting back to your remark about, you know, this is your busiest week. At all, but actually, I love this week. Ever since, I suppose, my days in college and just being involved in the liturgy of it and things like that and the whole story. Because each year you can still mine an awful lot for prayer and reflection from it. And it's just, you know, to give yourself the space to be able to do that. So, I mean, I think if people just give themselves a bit of time, maybe if you can't go to all the ceremonies, but that you do some bit of reflection this week here on Clare FM, we will be helping those maybe who aren't able to get to church or, you know, that way want to reflect with us on those days. And on Holy Thursday, we have a special program of reflection on in the evening at 7 o'clock here on Clare FM. And then on Good Friday in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have another half hour program of some prayer, music and reflection. And on Saturday evening, we have 9 o'clock. We're stepping in for...
We're stealing Father Cletus's hour. We won't be popular for me tell you.
But anyway, we have some nice reflections and
music,
our bishops,
and Bishop, thoughts,
Kenneth,
Bishop
and
Kenneth and
Bishop
Fintan.
Fintan will be with us, joining us on those programs as well. So we're putting the final touches to those and they'll be ready. And I hope that our listeners will enjoy them.
Very good, very good. And thank you for all your work on that.
Can we just maybe come out with a little piece of music that I've chosen, which is called Ubi Caritas, very much connected with the command of Holy Thursday, that where charity and love are found, there is God. Now, this particular setting, it's a lovely setting. It's a recent setting written by an American, I think, reminding us what Holy Week is all about, I suppose, in some way.